Wall Street gets off to a weak start with the federal budget and the future of federal borrowing still unresolved.
Wake up to the day's top business headlines. Subscribe to the Marketplace Morning Report podcast. It's on iTunes and marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. It is an odd day for financial markets with the bond market closed for Columbus Day, but the stock market opened on time and with no clear path toward reopening closed parts of the federal government or averting an impact with the federal debt ceiling, the mood started the day quite subdued. For a traffic report on the Washington gridlock, let's turn to Stan Collender, a former House and Senate Budget Committee staffer who writes about the federal budget even when the global financial system may not be at stake. Hello, Stan.
Good morning, David. Good to talk with you.
Yes, you've been of the mind that we will default this week. You seeing anything this morning that makes you feel maybe you were wrong?
Well, first, I didn't say default. What I am saying is that I think there's a 50-50 chance that Congress won't increase the debt ceiling by the October 17th deadline that Treasury Secretary Jack Lew set. So whether we default on the 17th or not is another question, but I'm not sure we're going to get the debt ceiling done. And no, there is nothing that's happened over the weekend that has changed my mind about this at all. If anything, things are in a slightly worse place than they were at the end of last week.
What about the argument that the U.S. has never actually defaulted before, therefore it can't happen this time?
Well, that to me is the most ridiculous argument at all. Just because we haven't done it before doesn't mean the moon, the stars, and the planets aren't aligning so that it won't happen now. We've had a lot of instances of that over the years, in fact, black swan type events where housing prices that hadn't gone down in 40 or 50 years suddenly went down. Wall Street wouldn't do this type of analysis about a company's financials. They can't do it about the U.S., where politics rather than bottom line is important.
What I'm hearing from you is you don't think this is just endgame brinksmanship that's going on. You're actually worried.
I'm actually very worried, and I have a group of budget wonk friends who have been getting together once a month for 30 years. There's 700 years of experience around the table, and we all think it's possible.
Stan Collender is a budget expert who also works for the public relations firm Corvus. He tweets from @TheBudgetGuy. Stan, thank you.
My pleasure. Take care.
The Nobel Prize for Economics today goes to Eugene Fama and Lars Peter Hansen of the University of Chicago and Robert Shiller of Yale. Their work is about predicting asset prices, houses, stocks, and so forth, not in 5 minutes or next week, but predicting them in the fullness of time. Here live is Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer. Good morning.
Hey, David.
So, Nancy, tell me about these three economists and their work.
Well, all three have focused on the behavior and efficiency of markets. Fama's work led to index funds, which just follow the market. And he found that stock pricing doesn't really work, but that prices will react together to current events, and you can get a pretty good idea of how the market will behave in the long run. Hansen developed a tool to test for market predictability, but Robert Shiller says markets are irrational. Nariman Baravesh is chief economist at IHS. He told me a little more about Shiller's theory.
Markets do overreact. There is a herd instinct, if you will, in markets, and they tend to move too far in one direction, too far in another. And of course, we saw that in the decade of the 2000s with U.S. house prices.
Indeed. So have Shiller's predictions of market irrationality tended to come true?
Well, certainly they have in the case of the housing market. He was one of the few economists who warned of a bubble in housing. Of course, everyone ignored him, expecting prices to go up forever. He also warned us about the tech bubble and crash. But again, he was mostly ignored. I don't know, David, maybe we'll pay attention to him next time now that he's won the Nobel Prize.
There's actually a long history of financial markets ignoring the warnings of our learned Nobel laureates. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer, thank you very much.
Get Marketplace's top headlines, podcasts, and special features delivered right to your inbox each day. Subscribe to the Midday Update newsletter at marketplace.org.
The open enrollment period for Medicare begins tomorrow. We know Medicare is the federal health insurance system for older Americans and people with disabilities. And Tuesday, tomorrow, people in the system can change their health or drug coverage plans with no penalty. But add the newly unveiled health insurance exchanges to the mix, and there will be bound to be extra confusion about where to sign up for what and when. Sally Herships has more.
Express Scripts, a pharmacy benefits management company, polled seniors about Medicare enrollment. It found 20% think they can sign up for insurance through one of those new healthcare exchanges, but they can't.
To be fair, Medicare options were confusing to begin with, and this only adds to the confusion.
Amanda Stark teaches healthcare management at Wharton. She says, we know when seniors enroll in Medicare, they can be overwhelmed by all the choices, like Medigap and Medicare Advantage. The more choices they have, the longer they spend trying to make decisions, and the more they can end up paying. Many of the new healthcare exchanges can add to the problem, because seniors may think they have even more options to choose from.
So to the extent that consumers end up in plans that cost more because they're confused, the federal government is actually on the hook for some of that bill.
Which really means the taxpayers. So just to be clear, Medicare is for seniors 65 and older. The new exchanges are for everyone else. I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
And before we go, here's a number. A new Associated Press poll finds that half of older Americans say they're stuck delaying their retirement because they don't have enough money. Slumping 401k values in the last 5 years are a big part of this. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.